right. Well, we're really excited. And I got to say, what a year 2020 has been. Like, I don't know if you realize this or not. We're about halfway through this year. I mean, the year in some ways has flown, but when I look back, I think about things that I've experienced, one of which is going to Senegal and getting to be with the Martins, and those are some ministry partners of ours that we love. And if you didn't notice, that they're home now. They're in the States. They normally serve in Senegal. And so, but as you can see, even being home, they have a lot that's going on. We can be praying for them. Even this coming week, they're going to be on vacation, which is really good ministry for them to be able to decompress and probably think through what it's like to leave something they've been pouring their hearts into for quite a while now, and to be home now and to be refocusing into how they can minister to the churches that are supporting them. So let's be praying for them. But it's been quite a year in that respect to go to Senegal right before this pandemic started. But it's also been a year of this pandemic. In 2020, I think will always be something we will remember when we think about this pandemic, when we think about what it was like for us, each one of us, to have to live a life in a way that we never would have imagined. I mean, I could have never guessed that I would have to get used to wearing a mask. And sometimes I actually do get used to wearing that mask. Other times I do not, to be honest. But to think about this, that we've grown in our ability to wear a mask. Some people have learned how to sew masks, which is an awesome thing, the way that they've been able to serve and care for others. But it's also been a year where we've seen people stand up for injustice. We've seen the horrors of injustice. You don't have to look far on the news just to recognize and to see that even in the year 2020, there are people that are definitely sidelined. And we live in a world that is still seen as broken, clearly, on the news. You don't have to look far to see the brokenness in our world. So 2020 has been quite a year. But prior to this year, if somebody would have said 2020 to me, I would have thought about vision. I would have thought about sight. And quite frankly, whenever somebody would say 2020 vision, I would always think about the fact that I wear glasses and contacts, and I can't see very well. I'm so thankful for corrective lenses, because without them, I'm pretty much blind. In fact, even this morning, I got up and I was thinking about coming in. I'm thinking about what it was going to be like to be a part of this service this morning, and get all excited. And I quick went downstairs, and all of a sudden I realized, can't you never grab your glasses? This isn't going to be too effective. And so when I think about 2020, a lot of times I think about vision. I think about my need to think and to see clearly. But as we think about 2020, I want to encourage us this morning to think about our own vision with the Lord. We can look at 2020 and we can see the hardships, and I don't want to minimize those hardships because they are real. The pain that people have experienced is real. But if we just look at the pain and we just focus on the pain without thinking about the growth, I think we're going to miss an opportunity that's right in front of us even this morning, to look at this text and to say, God, how are you growing me? And how are you looking to grow me, God? Because he is. He's doing a work in our lives. And so with that, I encourage you, if you have a Bible, you're welcome to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're finishing this series, this thought we've been having on walking in faith, what it looks like for us to continue to walk in faith with the Lord, knowing that God is journeying with us, but he is calling us to step with him through ministering to others and through really just reaching relationally into that relationship with God. And so with that, I just want to read these verses, starting in verse 12, and we're just going to walk to the end of the chapter. And I want to also say there's a whole lot here. We could camp out here for weeks, and so we're not going to. We're gonna kind of fly through this. And if I've whet your appetite into something here, that's wonderful. And I encourage you to keep diving deeper into these topics this morning. But again, recognizing we could just take this scripture for granted. We could say, you know, I'm getting somewhere. Or we could say, God, how are you growing me? How are you growing me? So with that, let's start in verse 12. It says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. In verse 22, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's pray. And God, this has been quite the first half of a year. God, I know I've grown, even just my acknowledgement that you are with me, that I need you. God, even as a great hymn says, I need thee every hour, every hour, I need thee. And God, I've seen that throughout this year. God, I pray that you would help us this morning as we come to this text to see that you're with us. You're growing us, God. You're doing something wonderful in our lives. You want to continue to work in us. So God, I just pray you'd help to grow our vision to see you and to see the ways you're working and the ways you're calling us to keep walking in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start off in this text, we get to, again, verse 12, it says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. And as I think about this, I got to say, I'm so thankful for those who have cared for me. You know, those who have seen me, have recognized the opportunity to minister to me, and have reached beyond themselves. Even in the past weeks and months, I've had people that have just asked me, Kent, how are you doing? And that's meant so much to me when somebody says, or somebody recognizes that I might have a lot on my plate, or there might be some different things going on in my life, just like there are different things that are going on in your lives. So it's meant a whole lot to me when people have cared for me. And more than that, when they've admonished me or they've encouraged me, they've recognized that I might not be at my best right now, and I might just need someone to point out that you're moving, you're going somewhere, keep going. And as I think about that, as Paul states, the writer of this letter, he's saying to encourage those, acknowledge those who are reaching beyond themselves, acknowledge those who are doing these good things, not just for them, but because as we encourage others, and I'm just so thankful, again, for those who've encouraged me. I don't know if you've experienced that encouragement recently, but it is so good when you are in a state of being tired, or you're in a state of being weary, for someone to say, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Keep going. I see you. I recognize you. Keep going. And so, in some ways, as people are doing that, it's that they're seeing beyond themselves. They're not just looking at their own interest. They're seeing the interests of others, and they have their best in mind. So we are a blessing to others when we simply just look beyond ourselves and say, oh, I see my friend, and I recognize I can care for them. I've actually been meeting, it's been pretty cool, I've been meeting on Mondays over the past month with a group of ladies, and they've been talking about just some ways that they've been able to care for each other. And just simply making phone calls is one way they've been able to reach beyond themselves. And I would say in some ways that's hard work. Not because it's labor to pick up a phone, but because it just takes time, takes effort to go beyond yourself and to care for the needs of others. And though it's not a physically exhausting exercise, it's a great way that these ladies have been able to care for each other. They've been able to pray for each other and just remind their friends that they're not alone. So they're reaching beyond themselves. And when we admonish others, another way we do this is simply we're seeing the best in others. I know there have been times in the past few months when I have not been at my best. I've just been either tired, I've been just kind of overwhelmed. And that's not to make excuses in and of themselves, it's just the reality of life right now. This is my first time going through a pandemic. And so as I'm walking through this journey of life, as I'm walking through these past few months with the Lord, there are times when I'm like, yeah, I definitely just snapped at my wife and I need to apologize. Or I definitely just, you know, I wasn't the best in the meeting I was just in. And it's just been great, again, as I've even had elders in our churches say, Kent, how are you doing? And just to love me, just to care for me, to forgive me when I'm not at my best. Because they see that, you know, Kent, you love Jesus and you're seeking others' best. So they're seeing the best in me and they're encouraging me, they're admonishing me. And for you as well, as you're caring for others, as you're encouraging others, it's that you're seeing ways that you can point out what they're doing well. Then we get to the opposite of this. Paul talks about in verse 14, he says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. I would say it's just the opposite in some respects. And when we think of the word idle and disruptive, it's actually just one concept. And maybe we could use the word undisciplined or even divisive. But just that person that's not making life easy. And not because they're seeking for others to care for them, just because they're just making life not easy. In fact, as a man and I were talking about this topic, I've thought about the times when I've gone shopping with her. And typically we'll go to, like, around here we have Sam's Club or Walmart and these Target's right close by us. So when I go shopping with Amanda, a lot of times I'll go and I'll grab the cart. Now, I haven't been doing this recently, but I just think about before the pandemic, I would grab the cart, and I usually grab the first cart that I would see, which is the cart that was discarded. And I would just think, oh, I'm going to grab this cart, in part because my wife, don't be deceived by her statue, she is quick. And so she'd be walking into Sam's Club, and I'd be like, I got to grab this cart, I got to get going. And so I grab the cart, I'm not really paying attention because I have a one-track mind, and I just start pushing this cart. And it would take me probably about at least 10 seconds or 15 seconds, which by then, again, my wife's pretty far ahead of me, so I've moved quite a distance, to realize that the wheels are locked up because this is the cart that's been discarded because it doesn't work right. And so I'd be pushing this cart, and at this point, there's this pride thing going on inside of me, which is like, do I acknowledge that this cart isn't working right, and do I just turn around and go back, like, humble myself and just do this? Or do I just do what is not the best? Do I just keep pushing this squeaky cart throughout the grocery store? And I sometimes do actually keep pushing that squeaky grocery cart through the store. And so, but in those moments when I'm doing this, there's a point in that time where I'm like, it doesn't have to be this hard. Like, it doesn't have to be this hard to push the cart. And as I think about this concept of what it looks like to be idle and disruptive, it's those moments where it's not that somebody needs cared for, it's just that they've locked up the wheels. And we all can do that. I know I can do that. There's moments where I kind of lock up the wheels. I just make life harder for others. And in part, it's because I've lost that perspective. As again, as we've been talking about that 2020 perspective with Jesus. I get my focus on myself, and so I kind of lock the wheels up on me. And yet, God is often, he's encouraging me, stop thinking about yourself in those moments. Be selfless in those moments. Just kind of go with me. Trust me. And in those times when I've been able to, even in some ways, kind of humble myself and go back and get the right cart, it's been a much more pleasurable experience going grocery shopping with my wife. And so for us, sometimes it's just that acknowledgement, like, why am I locking up the wheels? Like, why am I getting disruptive? Why am I catching myself being divisive? And then acknowledging that and just going back to the Lord and saying, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I lost sight of you. I've lost sight of the best in others, and I locked up the wheels. But again, this isn't talking about somebody who just needs cared for, because Paul is clear. He says, encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. So even when somebody's locking up the wheels with you, those aren't moments for you to pay back wrong with wrong, as he continues on. There's just still moments where we have to be patient and love others and care for them. But I would say for us, and as we're thinking about this, even this past year, these moments where we just feel like we're losing control because we really don't know what it's like to live through a pandemic. And then those moments when we can say, God, even as I'm locking up, I'm gonna release this to you. I'm gonna give this to you, God. I'm gonna trust that you're bigger. I'm gonna trust that you have the world in control, that you're doing something in my life. And even in those moments, again, as we've been seeing the injustices in the world around us at times, there can be those moments when I can think to myself, God, are you really sovereign? Like, do you see this? What's going on in front of me? This doesn't look like you're at work here. And yet, then I'm reminded, no, God is doing his work. He's drawing his people to himself. And he's actually using people in these circumstances to care for the needs of others. And so even for us, as we look at the injustices around us, as we have those moments when, like, we can just kind of feel disturbed. You know, like, again, there are just these times when I'm like, God, it's 2020. I'm in my 30s now. I would have thought by now a lot of these injustices, this concept of race, this discussion on race, we've already had this by now. And yet I know in my own heart there's still times when I lose empathy, when I become short-sighted, when I just assume everybody is like me. And so I think, again, as I look at this past year, I'm reminded, God, you're working something in my life. I could either just close off my mind to what you're doing, or I can open myself up to say, you know, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm going somewhere. And so for us as a body, again, it's this opportunity that we have to encourage others, to admonish them, again, looking at their best. And he says, encourage the disheartened. So encourage those when they are like just struggling. When they're not able to see the Lord, and they're just saying, or they are seeing the Lord, and they're just saying, the situation in front of me just looks so great. I need somebody to help me see Jesus in this. Or just to see beyond this moment. Like, sometimes we just need somebody to give us that 2020 perspective to say, yeah, this is hard. And God does not take your situation lightly, but he still loves you. He's still walking with you. And sometimes we just need people to put their arm around us and say, keep going. Keep going. And so we encourage the disheartened. We help the weak. And we're patient with everyone because we have everyone's best in mind. So we make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. So there's no one that is excluded in this. Notice that. You could say for each other, like, okay, the body of Christ, and for everyone else. And even as I recently was talking with Wes about what I've been seeing in the world, and as a follower of Jesus, sometimes I can still look out and I can find myself getting defensive with others. Like, they're my enemy. Like, how dare they wrong me? Or how dare they have a different opinion than me? Even now, as we look out and we're entering a political season, there's every opportunity in the world for division to take place. Like, how dare somebody have a different political opinion than me? I live in America, where there's freedom of thought. How dare you think differently than me? And I can get into that mindset of thinking, like, if you're not with me in my thought, you're against me. But this verse is pretty clear. Always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That even means a person that has a different political view than you. To think, they're not my enemy. Because even as Jesus said, love your enemies. And quite frankly, we want our enemies to know Jesus. Like, I'd rather you know Jesus than agree with me politically. Like, I'd rather you love Jesus than you vote for the person that I think is best. And that's crazy talk to the world. It doesn't make any sense to the world. And quite frankly, it often doesn't make sense to me. But if we take this text seriously, we can recognize we don't have any enemies. There is no enemy. So when somebody comes to us and they just have a different opinion, they even just look different than us, they talk different than us, they're not our enemy. We want them to experience the love of Jesus through us. And so I encourage you, I just want you to think about this. Like, how can I serve others for God's glory? How can I serve others for God's glory? How can I see the best in others? In those moments when I'm wronged, how can I be patient with everyone? How can I, what does it look like, God, for me to seek the good in others? And to seek to do good with others? Because God is taking us on his mission. And it's really exciting. I find it exciting as I live so close to this church building, and as I kind of run around the area and walk around the area, like, I'll see people that are of different ethnicity than me. I mean, every morning I wake up and the person beside me is of a different ethnicity than me, but I'll see people of a different ethnicity than me, and I love that. Like, personally, I love talking to people when they don't speak the same level of English as me. Because in some ways, it reminds me that English isn't the only language, and that if somebody doesn't speak good English, it doesn't mean they're uneducated, it just means they don't speak good English. Like, there's so many people in this world that don't speak English well, and they are much smarter than I am. There are people that don't look like me or talk like me, and they are much smarter than I am. And so as I go around the community and as I see people that are of a different ethnicity than me, live a life that looks very different than me, I can be reminded that the way I live isn't the only way. And quite frankly, it's not even necessarily the best way. Oftentimes, it's not the best way. You know, I can get consumed by my possessions, and I can look at others who are just enjoying relational equity that they have with their family. And so for us, as we're seeking to serve others for God's glory, in some ways it looks like us just laying down our rights and saying, you know, God, I hope that people come into this building that like different music than me. I hope there are people that come into this building that can dance better than I can and who like a rhythm that's different than me. Like, God, I hope there are people that can think differently than me so they can help me to serve my community better. Like, I hope there are people that come into my church, and there, in fact, truthfully, there already are. We just don't see this. But I hope there are people that come into this building and become a part of our community that are able to love a sphere of influence that I'm not able to love. And so, again, this is just an opportunity for us to seek to be good to each other and for everyone. Because we want to serve others, because we want them to experience the love of Jesus. So how can I serve others for God's glory? Not for my glory. Not even really, in some ways, not even for Grace Church's glory, like the building itself. But for the community, yes, and the global church, and ultimately for God. How can I serve others so that God receives the glory in my life? He continues on. We get to verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus." So if you want to know God's will for your life, I know there are a lot of young people are like, what is God's will for my life? You know, should I take this job or that job? Should I date this person or that person? Should I move to this place or that place? What should I do? Like, we can think about what is God's will for my life. But I want to encourage us to kind of simplify that question. Just to think about God's will for me right now is that I would rejoice always. Meaning that I would have that 2020 Christ is with me perspective. I'd be able to see clearly that Christ is with me. Even when things get a little foggy, even when my life looks a little bit out of control, that I would still find that steadiness in Christ and be able to look through that lens and say, okay, God, I still see you. I still see you. And even when I don't totally see what's going on, I still recognize you're walking with me. You're with me in that valley, God. So we rejoice always. Again, that rejoicing, a lot of that is just tethered to that perspective. When I'm rejoicing, it's that I'm seeing beyond. Because joy isn't happiness in and of itself. It's not that I choose to be happy. Like, oh, I'm just going to neglect this pain that's in front of me. It says, this pain still hurts, but God, I know you're here. This pain still hurts, but Jesus, you still are victorious on the cross. This pain still hurts, but I still have an eternal relationship that far outweighs anything that I could ever experience on this earth, because Jesus is with me. So we rejoice always. Pray continually.
A lot of that is just that reminder that we can't do this life on our own. We need to pray to God, in part because we need to be able to communicate to God, this is what's going on. Like, I'm seeing this, and I'm probably not seeing this right, God. Help me to see with this perspective that you're here. Like, to just give our worries to God, to give the things that are weighing us down to God, and to say, God, this is where I'm at. Walk with me. This is where I'm at. Walk with me. Give me that 2020 perspective. And he continues, give thanks in all circumstances, which again, I think we can tether that today to that 2020 perspective. God, I'm going to be thankful in all circumstances. Again, that doesn't diminish the pain that's there, because there are people in this year that have experienced horrors in life. I mean, people who have lost loved ones, people that have just experienced so much heartache, people that have poured themselves out and are exhausted right now. It's been a hard year. But if we're followers of Jesus, we still have the opportunity to give thanks. That is to say, God, thank you for not leaving me. Thank you for not abandoning me. You're here. For this is God's will for you in Christ. God's will for you, that you would have this perspective that he's there, that you would be constantly walking in faith with Jesus. Then we get to this flip side, like, what does it look like for me to not walk in faith? Well, in a lot of ways, it looks like quenching the Spirit. Like, do not quench the Spirit, verse 19 says. We could get into a whole lot of things there, but I just want us to think about the truth of what it looks like for us to walk in faith, to walk in step with Jesus. As I think about this, I'm reminded of those moments in my life when I've been dehydrated. Because I got to say, I never really set out to be dehydrated. I don't know about you, maybe you do, that's interesting. But I never set out to be dehydrated, but I will often find myself dehydrated. And the reason I know I'm dehydrated is because I usually kind of get lightheaded, a little dizzy. I lose my vision, I'm not able to see clearly. I'm not able to get the work done like I should. And those are the moments where usually my wife, and even this pandemic has happened, it happened like a week ago, where my wife came home. I've been working at home a lot lately, and I said, I'm just not feeling like myself. And the first thing she says is, did you drink water? Did you drink water? Like, I'm losing my vision because I'm not caring for that simple need of just drinking water. But when we quench the Spirit, I think a lot of times it's that we're not really setting out to quench the Spirit. But again, it's just we just lose that vision. Like, I forget that God, you're there. I forget, God, you're with me. And I start just thinking about myself. I lock up the wheels. I get this man-made vision that's like, okay, things can only happen the way I can see them. As if God couldn't do something greater and stronger through us. So I lock up the wheels. But God is calling us. He's saying, walk with me. Follow me. Walk in step with me. So we don't quench the Spirit. Instead, we have this God-sized vision that says, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to become dehydrated in the Spirit. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to continue to spend time with you, even in this pandemic. When my world doesn't make sense, I'm not going to stop reading the Bible. I'm going to keep reading the Bible. I'm going to keep spending time with you, Jesus. I'm not going to quench the Spirit. Because the Spirit himself, which the Spirit's a being, Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. He's not just some ooze. He's a being. Not just a force even. He's a person. He's God. The Spirit himself satisfies us. He's there. He's with us. So let's not quench the Spirit. Let's keep moving with the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And so as we get into this, again, we can kind of take this in a lot of ways, but I would just encourage us, when we think about this term prophecy, to again just think about what it looks like for us to be following the Spirit of God. You know, prophecy can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, but truthfully, right now I'm prophesying to you. That is, I'm taking the Word of God. I've been spending time in the Word with the Lord and praying to God, and I'm declaring this truth to you. It's a lot of what prophecy really is. I'm encouraging you and admonishing you. And I'm walking in the Spirit in a way and praying to God and asking him to lead us. And so it says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. That is to say, in some respects, that could be like you saying, well, I'm just going to turn off what Kent's saying because it's Kent. This is just a man. So saying, don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. So be praying. Even as I've been talking to you and encouraging you, I hope, be thinking about, God, what does it look like for me to walk in faith with you? And if I've ever said anything that isn't true, to test that. Because I am a man. I'm a man who, praise God, has the Holy Spirit inside of him. Like, the Holy Spirit's what makes me good. On my own, I'm not. But test the prophecies of others. Test what people are encouraging you to do through the Spirit. I mean, there's a wonderful thing, a part of our church is that we have an elder board. And so as an elder board, we get together every month and we talk through and we think about where is God taking us. And we pray together and we just communicate. And in some ways, that also can be a time of prophecy, if you want to say it. Like, those are moments for us where we're saying, God, where are you calling us to go? And when we come to you and we say, I think this is where God is leading us. Like, those are opportunities for you to just listen and to think and to reflect and even test. Like, okay, is this of you, Lord? But to recognize, don't just shut it off because it comes from the elder board. To listen and really engage and to be attuned to the Spirit that is at work and is doing great things. Again, it says in verse 20, do not treat prophecies with contentment, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So again, we're seeking the good in others. We're seeking the good that comes from God. We're rejecting the evil that's not true. We're not acknowledging the falsehoods. We're walking in step with Jesus. That's how we walk in faith. And then just to close this out, we get to verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. And so this is where I just want to acknowledge before you that, again, there are those moments when we can think that our faith is all about us, all about me, and my trusting in God. But on the flip side, and truthfully, the reality of this is that God actually is the one who's walking with me. He's the one who makes me blameless. He's the only one that could save me and justify me. He's the only one that could sanctify me as well. Praise God, he hasn't given up on me. He's going to keep working on me. And so that just, again, it encourages us that we would depend on him. Again, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, like completely. And then we get this concept, spirit, soul, and body, which at another point in Scripture, Paul just talks about, I believe it's the spirit and the body. I want to get that right. So it's not just about the three. So don't be like, well, what's the soul? What's the spirit? What's the soul? And what's the body? Although some people might say the spirit is your spiritual being self. The soul is that essence of who you are. And then the body is your physical self. Like, you could kind of work through that. But I just want you to get this concept. May God himself thoroughly hold you blameless, work through you, so that you have, in your relationship with God, you're blameless. With your relationships with others, you're blameless. And just with yourself, you're blameless before God, so that you can walk in faith. So as he continues to work in you, you can keep walking. You can be a benefit to others. And now we're just going to come to communion. As we look at these last few verses, it says, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You guys are welcome to come forward. As I look at this, I'm just reminded that this book we've been spending a lot of time on the past few months, this concept of walking in faith, it's meant that we're walking in step with Jesus, that we have that vision that he's with us. And in part, it's because we're better together. Like, we're better when we don't lock up the wheels on each other. We're better when we seek out the best in others. We're better when we see the needs that are in front of us. And we're the ones that go and care for others. We're at our best when we work together and Christ is leading us on. We don't want to quench the Spirit. We don't want to just have a man-sized vision. We have a God-sized vision to reach the lost. We have a God-sized vision for the miracles that God is working inside of us. He's transforming us. You are a walking miracle. So let's seek to greet each other, to look for the best in others. Even as this text says, I charge you, brothers, it says, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. And so I've actually been in a culture where kissing was common. It was very odd. I was working with refugees in the Middle East, and I had this moment where I was at a Bible study with some refugees, and the Bible study ended, and a man, it was his house, it was with his family, and he, as I was leaving, he kissed me, like made the sound really close to my face on this side, on this side, and on this side. And that could kind of freak somebody out. In fact, it was kind of funny. His family and his friends were kind of laughing because they were like, he's a Westerner. He doesn't do that. It's kind of weird to a Westerner. But to me, as I stepped back, that was a beautiful experience of what it looks like to be the body of Christ. Like, I felt completely loved. I felt seen. And I felt like he was just bringing me into himself. Like, I'm going to let you be a part of my culture. Our cultures, our God transcends cultures. And that was such a beautiful thing. And so for us, again, there's moments when we can seek to be divisive. Let's seek unity. So maybe we won't give a holy kiss, but maybe we'll shake other people's hands. We'll reach beyond ourselves to show the love of Jesus, to say hi to others, to all God's people, not just the ones we like, to all God's people. Because maybe that'll grow in us, that vision, that we don't have any enemies. We're better together. And then he gets to this concept as we come to the table. First he says, I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. So let's take this word seriously. And then the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We need the grace of God. And at Grace Church, when we take communion, this is a time for us to remember that Christ really did die on the cross, that we need his substituting work. This doesn't save us, but it helps us to acknowledge that I need your saving work in me, Jesus. I put my trust in you. I really believe you died on the cross and paid for my sin in full. You've become my substitute. And anyone at Grace, maybe you're here and you're a guest. I don't know if I see any guests. I apologize. But if you're at home and you're watching and maybe you're not normally part of our community, anyone can take communion at Grace. You don't need to be a member, but we do ask that you would have put your trust in Jesus. And so, but I just want to, even if Paul, if you could just play a little bit for us, I just want you to just take just a little bit of time and to think about this vision that you have with Christ, this 2020 vision. Maybe your vision's a little unstable, a little unclear. That's okay. We all have those moments. Maybe you just need someone to encourage you, keep going. Keep walking in faith. But so maybe just take some time. I encourage you just to pray. Maybe to ask God for forgiveness. To ask God to grow your vision that he's with you. To rejoice. Again, it doesn't mean we're just happy. It means that we have a God who's bigger than our circumstances. A God who went to the cross. So take some time and pray. Father, I thank you. I'm so grateful that you made the way. Only you could make the way, Jesus, for us to enter into a relationship with you, God. We're so grateful. God, forgive me for the times when I get short-sighted. When I lock up the wheels, Lord. When I don't see the best in others, forgive me. I'm so thankful to be a part of a body of Christ, to be a part of your greater body and be a part of this church. So thankful, God, you are working in us, Lord. You're allowing us to be your hands and feet. We pray that you would allow us to reach beyond ourselves, to care for the needs of others. And we'd recognize that, God, you've given each one of us a sphere of influence, an opportunity to share your love. I pray we do it. We go. Because you went to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us and for paying for our sin in full. I trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.